everyone. I'm Liz Coward. I'm a current PhD student at the University of Pennsylvania, and I'm involved in a recent initiative by the CZO network to do sort of cross-comparison studies between CZO sites. My dissertation research is largely concerned with organomineral associations, characterizing the role of iron and aluminum in accumulation of carbon and potential stabilization mechanisms of carbon in field soils. So just before we get into sort of my actual research, I just wanted to have us think about why we care about organomineral associations, particularly across sort of the CZO network and thinking about the critical zone processes. So there's good evidence that organomineral associations are involved in the accumulation of soil organic matter. So I would say the most striking or most compelling research of this or evidence of this are strong correlations between iron and aluminum in soils and radiocarbon residence time. So increasing iron and aluminum usually means that the carbon preserved in soils is older, right? But we don't really know, we're still sort of investigating what factors drive organomineral association formation, how these in turn affect soil organic matter accumulation. And this is largely because research is challenging in this area. As we all know, soil organic matter is itself very heterogeneous, and it's sort of analyzing the composition of soil organic matter presses the limits of our analytical techniques. And also, much of the work that's been done looking at organomineral associations in soils uses synthetic minerals or indirect extractions and focuses often on surface horizons and iron poor temperate soils. So this cross-CZO study is essentially a way to sort of remedy some of this or try to remedy some of this in looking at surface and deep soils. We have actually two soils that span climactic gradients but both have high iron concentrations, so we'll get into the sites a little bit later. And so this is sort of like my visual hypothesis of how soil organic matter cycling is happening in temperate and tropical systems. I'm interested in looking at sort of broad-scale effects of parent material, land use, weathering, depth, and redox gradients on sort of, and these are probably all interconnected, right, on the way that organic matter is cycling in the system. So using two sites from the CZO, the first of which is the Luquillo CZO, located in northeastern Puerto Rico. This is a humid tropical rainforest setting that's underlain by two distinct parent materials. So we have an oxisol and an inceptisol soil present that vary in the amount of iron content that they have, and an incredibly productive system that results in high carbon accumulations, particularly in surface horizons. And I want to frame this sort of as a vertical gradient system in which we see increasing weathering and organic input and decreasing iron crystallinity as we move from the depth up to the surface. My other site, sort of as part of the cross-CZO setting, would be the Calhoun CZO, which we heard already about from Caitlin. So this setting is located in the Piedmont of Southern California, or South Carolina, sorry guys. I swear, I've been there, I know where it is. and this is a really interesting site because it's been intensively monitored and sampled for over 70 years, and it is also overland, so instead of sort of like bottom-up changes, we have top-down changes, so it's been overlain with pasture, hardwood, and pine in separate plots that have been managed and maintained for these 70 years, but largely has a very similar, similar soil profile, very deep, highly weathered, and high iron content. But this is sort of divided into like what I'm considering an upper system and a lower system. So the top half of this soil profile is well mixed and sort of a biomantle, highly weathered, and the lower system is sort of poorly mixed, chemically weathered too, but is interwoven with these biohydro networks. So we'll keep in mind this sort of contrast in terms of a gradient and then two distinct systems with depth as we move through the data. So my primary way of assessing soil organic matter associations with iron phases is using a selective dissolution procedure. So I use four different extracts, three of which are inorganic, to assess different pools, operational pools of iron. So I use an acidified dicyanite extract to sort of assess pedogenic iron phases, more crystalline and some short-range order phases, hydrochloric hydroxylamine and ammonium oxalate both extract short-range order mineral phases, whereas hydrochloric hydroxylamine is the only inorganic one of those. And then sodium pyrophosphate, I don't know why it looks like that, is chelated and dispersible iron for the most part because it's operating at a much higher pH than the other solvents that I'm using. So I had about 80 soils from Puerto Rico and then 52 soils from the Calhoun CZO that I ran through this in duplicate, and that's the data that you'll be seeing here. So first, if we just focus on the solubilized iron concentrations that came out of these different fractions, we can see that the Luquillo is dominated by short-range order iron phases, so that's our hydroxylamine in green, both at the surface and subsurface, whereas Calhoun, the matrix contained more crystalline pedogenic or this dithionite extractable phases shown in blue. One thing that I think is really interesting is that both sites display very consistent profiles in iron mineral distribution across the depths. So we're not seeing a big gradient or a big change in terms of the iron distribution with depth. Just, I don't think I mentioned this, but so the surface horizon is 0 to 20 centimeters and the subsurface is 50 to 80 centimeters. So there's a big difference in terms of the systems in which these are operating. And so if we look in the flip side of this and look at the solubilized DOC, right, these are inorganic selective extractions. I actually measured DOC that is solubilized with the iron in the extract itself, which is really nice. We see in Luquillo there's a much higher concentration of solubilized DOC overall, so over twice as much, and contains much more carbon associated with these short-range order phases than crystalline or pentagenic phases, whereas Calhoun contains much more carbon associated with dithionite extractable iron. So we're seeing a pairing between the iron and the carbon data here. But across the board, surface and subsurface horizons, all sites contain more carbon in this chelated or dispersible, so the pyrophosphate extractable fraction, than anything else, which is not surprising given what it sort of is targeting, the phases it's targeting. So like I said, we're just going to start and pair this to data. So this is the solubilized DOC just correlated with solubilized iron. So we see in Luquillo, in Puerto Rico, right, so the surface horizons, we see good correlation and good explanation of the DOC values that we see by the solubilized iron. But at depth, we do not, right? There's poor correlation or mostly sort of stagnant slope values of zero correlation, indicating that the DOC that we're extracting is not driven by the iron concentrations at depth, right? Whereas in Calhoun, we see actually good correlation with the surface and at depth, other than sort of the dithionite extractable, which doesn't seem to be driving the DOC concentrations that we do see. But pyrophosphate and hydroxylamine, so these short-range order minerals, really do seem to be responsible for a lot of the DOC that we're solubilizing. And another way to sort of think about this, so similar sort of approach in pairing the carbon and iron data, is to calculate these molar carbon to iron ratios, which are a really common index of organomineral structure, right? And so what we see in Luquillo is, again, this dominance of pyrophosphate extractable carbon sorbed to iron. So we see high carbon to iron ratios in the pyrophosphate fraction. One is a molar carbon to iron ratio of one is often indicated to be sort of the limit for simple sorption as a complexation mechanism. And so we see values much higher than one for our pyrophosphate extractable across the board, across Luquillo and Calhoun. And another thing that we do see is in Luquillo, the signatures of these ratios are very similar between the surface and that depth, right, confirming what we saw before. And in Calhoun, we have very different signatures of these iron to carbon ratios, these complexation mechanisms at the surface and at depth. And this, to me, indicates sort of this, reaffirms my sort of understanding of the systems, right, that we really do have two sort of separate systems in Calhoun in which we have a surface and a deep setting that are not necessarily communicating in the way that we do see in Luquillo with a vertical weathering gradient. And so I mentioned that these soils have different sort of controls. So in Luquillo, we have the two parent materials produce weathering to produce two different soil orders. And then in Calhoun, right, we have these two, or actually three land use types that are basically all over the same soil order. So what we see in Calhoun is that the parent material, or sorry, the land use type doesn't have such a strong signature on these ratios, doesn't have a strong effect on the carbon to iron ratios. Although you can parse out some distinct differences between the pasture and the pine. Whereas in Luquillo, we see a big difference between the inceptisol and the oxisol soils, right? So we see much higher ratios across the board with the oxisol soils. So it seems like parent material is a stronger control than sort of the top-down approach of land use type, but we do see some smaller differences across the land use types in Calhoun. And then this is just sort of my last data slide. Thinking about an often used correlation between solubilized iron and the total carbon, a lot of people use organic extracts and so thus can't measure the DOC, right, that's solubilized with their iron. So instead what they do is use these solubilized iron phases and think about them in terms of the total soil carbon content of their soils. And there have been sort of some studies that have shown good correlation between those two. And I am here to say that I don't have good correlations between those two things. And I think that this is a really important thing to think about because we often so easily say that solubilized iron phases or sort of these distinct iron phases that I've been talking about are responsible for soil carbon content, right? But that might not be true. It might be responsible for just a small fraction of the soil carbon that we're thinking about. And maybe that carbon is really important because it's sticking around for a really long time, but it's not representative of the total carbon pool that's operating in that soil, right? And so making a distinction between those two, I think, is important. So just to close out and returning to sort of like my conceptual model here, we did see evidence for impacts of weathering, land use, parent material, depth, and to a lesser extent, right, we didn't really go into redox, but I do think that that's an important factor. And so what I think is really sort of the most important thing we can pull out of this is that there's a good way to sort of fingerprint sites across the CZO network in terms of the organomineral complexation. I think the selective dissolution procedure can be really effective in sort of parsing out different types of organic compounds and the way that they're associating with iron minerals. And so applying this and maybe moving beyond just the two sites that I have here and thinking about more broadly, you know, what kind of ecosystem processes can we assess and what can we see with these dissolution techniques could be really exciting. So with that, I just want to acknowledge my advisor, Lon Plunt. I don't know why there's a comma after your name, sorry. the lab of Aaron Thompson, Taylor Style, and Nehru, who both ran my DOC analyses for this work. Dan Markowitz and Dan Richter and Paul Hine, all from the Calhoun CZO, who have been critical in getting this work and the CZO, cross-CZO project running. And then Tim White for funding me via the CZO Savvy Fellowship. Thanks.
Any questions for Liz? About a minute for questions.
Hi.
Last week, you mentioned that you had significant and important correlations. In one of your graphs, you correlated.
Yeah, I'll go back. So this one. Is this what you're referring to?
Yes.
Yeah.
Correlation may be significant, but I'm not sure, I'm not on that view, but there are tools that are 020, 030, the best one is 072.
Yeah. So I understand that this is not like a 99% correlation coefficient, right? But so this is I think that this is striking, like there are visible trends here, right? And so like I guess I'm not focusing too strongly on the R-squared values and maybe that's not correct, but you also have to recognize that these are all the soils pooled, right, for each of these sites. So these are like the oxisols and the inceptisols pooled for Luquillo. And there's wide variety, like, you know, a big range in the carbon content and the iron content from those soils. So I think that some amount of the R-squared value being lower for some of these extracts is due to that sort of site-based variability, right? But I think that there are sort of key trends we pulled out of these regardless, and I think that's what I meant sort of by significant.